We'll be having a sermonette and a sermon today, and to give us the sermonette, Mr. Cliff Whitman.
Thank you, Pete. Good afternoon. And to those who are peering in through that little lens back there, hello. Today I was thinking of doing the continuation of something I started talking about last time I was up here. That was the similarity between the Old Testament Levites and the New Testament church. I think that's an interesting comparison. And I will continue it sometime, but I'm not going to continue that comparison today. I changed my mind, and I'll explain why. I started the comparison last month, if you remember that sermonette. You start with the creation of the tribe of Levi. They're taking over of the priesthood of the firstborn in Exodus. Then you go to Numbers and the exchange of the Levites and the firstborn. But then, looking onward for their ongoing duties, what the Levites did, you'd have to go to their role in the Promised Land. You'd probably look in the histories of Judges, Joshua and Judges, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, and especially, as it turns out, Chronicles. And because that search for what the Levites did, because that search led mainly to Chronicles, I want to focus on Chronicles today, particularly how Chronicles is a bridge to the New Testament, a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That is, if you were going to look for references to the Levites, beyond what it says about choosing them in the law, you'd look in the rest of the Old Testament, you'd find about 190 references. Out of that 190 references, 93 are in the books of Chronicles, and three references in the books of Samuel and Kings. Now, those two documents cover the same history, so why are there 93 in Chronicles and three in Samuel and Kings? That's what turned my attention to the book of Chronicles. I thought the focus on the Levites might have something to do with Chronicles being the last book in the Jewish canon of the Old Testament. So I thought about bringing that up as a point today between this, talking about the similarities between the Levites and the church. But then I noticed a sermon online, and it intrigued me because it was about Chronicles, so I gave it a listen. And that sermon opened a bigger door, a bigger significance to me to the book of Chronicles, bigger significance that I had intended to talk about. So I'm postponing what I had intended, and we're going to talk about that bigger significance. The sermon was given by Mr. Rod Foster. He's the pastor of the UCG congregations in San Antonio and Austin. How many of you know Mr. Foster? Several of you do. I don't know him, never met him. You might have met him at the feast. Maybe you came across that sermon online as I did. But the title caught my eye because it was, Why Did God Inspire Chronicles? Well, it turns out that Chronicles turns out to be, as I said, a bridge between the Old Testament and the New. And that's, in fact, where that book sits in the Bible. If I asked you to turn to the last book, to the end of the Old Testament, you might think about turning to Malachi. But let's turn to the last book of the Old Testament in a Hebrew Bible. This is a Hebrew Bible. I borrowed it from Dana. It's all in Hebrew. I can't read it, but I had to borrow it. So anyway, Hebrew script is all read from the right toward the left, and you turn the pages toward the left as well. So this is the front of the book. And the front of the book has Genesis up front. And if you turn to the back of the book, which Dana bookmarked for me, you find Chronicles. It's the last book in the Old Testament. By the way, I call it Chronicles and not First and Second Chronicles, because in the Hebrew Bible, it's all one book. It's just the book of Chronicles. And the New Testament does endorse this position of the book of Chronicles. Certainly the Jews are supposed to know the order of the Old Testament. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, the Jews, he said, unto them were committed the oracles of God. That's in Romans 3, 2. And the Jews divided this book into three sections: the law, the Psalms or the writings, and the prophets. Other order. It's the law first, then the prophets, then the Psalms. And that's endorsed by Jesus Christ himself in Luke. I won't turn there. I've got it written down here. Luke 24, 44. Jesus says, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Right? That's the order of the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. The law is five books, of course. The prophets include the books of Joshua and Judges, and Samuel and Kings, and all the major and minor prophets. And then the third division is this commonly called the Psalms. It consists, first of all, of Psalms. Psalms is the first book in the third division, so that's why it's called, the division is called the Psalms. But the Psalms, the Proverbs, and Job are there. And then there are five festival books. And then lastly, there are the post-exilic books, which are Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, which is considered one book, and Chronicles. Chronicles is the last book in the writings. So why did they put Chronicles last and not next to Samuel and Kings, where they seem to make chronological sense? Because they talk about the same period of history. Well, it turns out that Samuel and Kings and Chronicles were written, first of all, at very different times. Samuel and Kings were written very near the events which they describe. We don't know who the authors were, but they lived at that time. They were eyewitnesses of those events. But Chronicles was written after the Jews returned from Babylon, much later. The Chronicles might have been written down by Ezra. And they were written for very different reasons, these two documents. Samuel and Kings look backwards. Samuel and Kings draw lessons from the history of Israel and Judah. You know, things went well when they did things God's way, and when they didn't do things God's way, things went very badly. That's the record of Samuel and Kings. And so they're considered part of the prophets because they preach that lesson to us. But Chronicles was written when the Jews had most of their expectations destroyed. You know, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed. The house of David was no more. There were no more descendants alive, or at least they weren't on the throne. All seemed lost. All was hopeless about the time. It seemed almost hopeless at the time that Chronicles was written. And so Chronicles is a record of what had gone before, the promises made, and looking forward to them being fulfilled. That is, God had made promises to bless the entire earth through Abraham. He had made promises to David that he would always have an heir on the throne. And he had built the temple and filled it with his glory. Solomon had built it. And now all that had been destroyed, had been dashed. And this is when Chronicles was written. Well, if you notice in the book of Chronicles, I won't turn there again, but if you recall, reading the book of Chronicles, it starts out with a genealogy, all the way from Adam to Abraham. In other words, it's recording the basis of the promises made to Abraham. And then that genealogy continues to David, and then to the descendants of David, and Chronicles tells the story of David's descendants and the reign of his descendants over the house of Judah. It's the story of promises, the promises that were unfulfilled at the time that Chronicles was written. It all ended in destruction and in exile, and it's placed at the end of the Old Testament as a bridge. It tells how the promises originated, how they were never fulfilled completely, and that hope was virtually lost. So it ends with a question: how will those promises be fulfilled? That's the question that it asks. And that is the question that ends the Old Testament. How will it be fulfilled? Mr. Foster's sermon points to that question at the end of the Old Testament. Let's turn to the end of the Old Testament, which is not Malachi again, but Chronicles. The end of Chronicles, chapter 36. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36, at the very end. Verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now Cyrus was Cyrus the Great. This is in the 500s BC. He's the originator of the great Persian Empire. Stretches from Asia Minor to India, the whole known world practically. Okay, so in the first year of this king, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of prophet Jeremiah might be accomplished. In other words, God's promises. Will God's promises be accomplished? The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So it's God who stirs him up. This is God's inspiration. This is God inspiring the last statement in the Old Testament. That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God made, Lord God of heaven, given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is therefore among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. This then is the question that ends the Old Testament. Who is there among you of all people? The Lord his God be with him and let him go up. Historically, of course, this is answered by a few Jews who return from the exile in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and who built the second temple. But as Mr. Foster pointed out, this is a bridge to the New Testament. It has bigger implications. Cyrus says this to all the kingdoms of the earth. Who is among all the people of the world? Let him go up. Let God's people go up from everywhere. And the New Testament is then the story of all the people in the world who go up and build the new temple. The people who are the new temple, in whom God's Spirit dwells. The temple built without hands. And the New Testament is the answer then to this question at the end of the Old Testament. How the promise to Abraham will be fulfilled and all the earth will be blessed, and how the promises to David will be fulfilled. And if you'll note then how the New Testament begins, it takes right up from here. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is a genealogy. Verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Exactly the people who the promises were made to, Abraham and David. So, to summarize the genealogy in verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. That takes us up to the book of Chronicles. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So Chronicles is the bridge. All the promises seem to have failed. How will they ever be fulfilled? Chronicles asks the question, and the New Testament answers it. This is only a brief summary. I don't intend to repeat Mr. Foster's sermon. I recommend that you, if you're interested, that you listen to it. Maybe you can go home and listen to it this afternoon. Just look on ucg.org, sermons. There's a search engine there. Just look for either speaker, Foster, or subject, Chronicles, and you'll find it right away. Chronicles sets up then the question of how Abraham's seed will be a blessing to all people, and who will reign on the throne of David, and how God's temple will be built. Now, my original idea for a message today was just a little part of that story. You know, in this bridge, this book of Chronicles, this bridge to the New Testament, are the bulk of the descriptions of what the Levites did in the kingdom of David. And those duties are probably all there. Mostly all the Old Testament references or descriptions of those duties are there in Chronicles, I think, because there's probably not only going to be a blessing to all people fulfilled, and a fulfillment of the promises to David, there will also be, I think, the equivalent of Levites playing the same kind of roles that the Levites were supposed to perform under the kingdom of David. I think that's an interesting comparison that maybe I'll make someday, but not today. But I think if you listen to the sermon, you will look at the book of Chronicles in a new and an interesting way.